This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Wire, you are. And Brooke, you are.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Let the fire!
All right, been a busy, fun Friday today. G. Scott will join us in 30 minutes. We all got to hang out with him last night. Justin, Moore, and I all went to go see Ludacris with G. We got to go to his house first and then hang out and watch the show together. So we'll...
Justin's hanging out with him all weekend.
Yeah, I got to ride in the Tesla to the show. You guys really missed out.
Well...
Oh, we noticed.
We have thoughts on that.
We were leaving. Because, he already invited you on his birthday trip this weekend in front of us without inviting us.
Right.
And then when we were leaving the house, G goes, Justin, you want to ride with me? And I was like... Salk, we're not the cool kids.
Nope. We got to feel what it was like being in sixth grade with Mean Girls. It was great. Appreciate that. That was nice
last.
Of you guys. Yeah, no, it's cool. Glad you guys were in the Tesla. We were in my Kia. By the way, appreciate the camera work you had from the back seat of the Kia yesterday. That looked pretty good with the skylight. Yeah, that was pretty good. People thought I was mean mugging you though.
Scowling at the camera.
Mirror. Of course. Hey, just permascal. What can I say? I'm just an angry guy.
That's what it is.
All right, Mauro, let's buy and maybe even sell.
I didn't prepare. I feel like the one sold sound effect we have is for Brock.
Yeah, you don't need that.
Yeah,
we don't need that country.
Agree, we don't need that today.
Don't need that country garbage.
Oof. All right, first buy, sell. It's either O-line or trade back for the Seahawks in the first round.
What should they do? What are they going to do?
Are those the only two options?
Oh!
Is it O-line or bust, basically? O-line or trade back?
Sell. Selling that.
Sold in the back row.
Yeah, no, I think D-line is still a possibility for them. And I thought Matt Miller's point the other day was very cogent. Essentially, look, Byron Murphy is exactly what he had in Baltimore with Justin Madubuike, and that sure seemed to work pretty darn well for him. So the one thing I can't tell is if he's trying to recreate what he had in Baltimore, right? He didn't bring anybody in from Baltimore. There aren't tons of players that have played in his system that are now coming back. So maybe he's not going in that direction. Offensive line is certainly a possibility. Trading back, certainly a possibility. But I got to allow for the chance that they do go D-line. And while I don't think it's going to happen, and I give this a very slim possibility, I'm still not going to rule out quarterback, depending on how the draft goes, right? Maybe they do take Penix at 16. I don't think it's going to happen. That wouldn't be, the thing I would expect.
You're still going to hold out hope just because if you feel like you're going to reverse jinx it if you don't?
No, I think it's a possibility. They might do that. I don't think it's a high possibility. But I think offensive line, defensive line, quarterback, that's probably it. I mean, that's a lot of positions. They could, in theory, go edge, too. Like, if Jared Verse were there for them, who's going to be mad if they take Jared Verse?
If they're best player available, they could take a safety there. Who knows?
If they take a safety or a wide receiver, you'll hear some grumbling from me.
I've sold the idea of a quarterback. That's not happening for me.
Okay.
You're selling?
I want to be wrong on that.
Because you want a quarterback.
Sold in the back row.
Quarterback would be fun.
Like, especially based on what we've heard of the next 2 years worth of quarterbacks are coming out. Yeah, I want one this year.
Yeah.
I also don't want Michael Penix to go to the Rams.
No.
All right, buy or sell. The Mariners will have a gold glove candidate this year despite the shaky defensive start.
Buy.
One. Yeah. I didn't say multiple, but at least one.
I think both Julio and Cal are candidates to be gold glove.
And let's eliminate pitchers from the gold glove category because that happens.
Because who the heck knows?
Come on. No, that's not counting here.
I think both Julio and Cal are gold glove potential candidates. I think it'd be really hard for both of them to win, but I wouldn't rule out the possibility of them being candidates. Julio, much more likely to be a silver slugger. The problem that Cal's got is everyone in the world is all over Rutschman.
Yep.
And he could win the gold glove just for being a great hitter and for just being Adley Rutschman. So I think that makes it hard. But candidate, yes. Win it, probably not. And then, there's always some light bat center fielder who can just run all over the place who ends up winning a gold glove. So
yeah, not to mention Yonier Diaz. Diaz is really good.
Yeah, there's a bunch. There's some dudes out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this one. buy or sell that you could win one of the M's new salmon races that they're having with everyone in the different salmon costumes.
Right.
If you don that costume and tried, could you win?
Oh, I'm definitely going to buy that because you're not specifying who's running in the other three costumes. Like if I were racing my family, if Heather, Avery, and Cecily were in the other three costumes, I feel like I could win. Now, if I was racing against, professional athletes, I don't feel like I'd have much of a chance.
Okay, well, then which salmon are you picking for the salmon run?
All right, so I've got four choices, right? Yep. I can be the king.
Yep.
I can be the silver coho.
Mm-hmm. Or you can be sockeye.
I can be the sockeye.
Or Humpy.
Or I could be Humpy. Well, I don't want to be Humpy. I'd be crashing into everything. Humpy's got issues. Poor guy.
Humpy's just happy to be here.
Right. Poor dude. He's got navigational challenges, it seems like, and I just kind of feel bad for him.
He's got floaties because we're not sure if he can swim.
Right. Don't want to be the king. I think I want to be the sockeye.
Grunge salmon.
Is that what the sockeye is?
Yeah.
It's kind of grunge based.
Yep. It's got a flannel on.
How about
Luda? Also got a big black eye, if you haven't noticed.
Look, I'm a sockeye. Like, if I have to choose salmon to eat, I generally buy sockeye. I think the coho's my least favorite. I've never bought a Humpy. I don't really know what that is. Oh, that's the Atlantic gross salmon?
It's pink salmon.
Disgusting. And King is too expensive. So, yeah, I'm kind of a sockeye guy. Well,
Justin,
I'll go with the sockeye.
Justin
and I think I can win.
That we may be able to make this happen.
Oh, really?
Well,
I didn't say that, but maybe we know some people.
There's
who
an option
somebody.
For people to get into these costumes.
That would be
maybe.
Crazy.
Maybe there's a chance.
I'd be way into that.
Maybe we could have a Brock and Salk show salmon race at one point.
That sounds intriguing.
I feel like Brock would take it way too seriously.
Of course he would.
Yeah, and he'd be king.
We might have to trip him.
Make him Humpy.
Crown of the
maybe
the
Brock cape. Can be Humpy.
Could we collude against him?
Yes. Flat yes. You don't think salmon do that? Of course we could.
Okay. Next buy or sell. Matt, do you buy or sell Matt Miller's take that the top six quarterbacks in this draft and maybe Spencer Rattler are better than Sam Howell?
I buy that they're better prospects than Howell. I don't know that I buy that all five, six, or seven of them are going to turn out better than Howell. I think that's a lot of suppositioning. So I guess I'm buying and selling it. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just trying to be very, very specific here. I guess ultimately I would say I sell. Like I it's hard for me to imagine that all of them are going
sold
to work out.
In the back row.
He's got to clean some things up, but he had some good aspects to his game last year, too.
He seemed like a nice guy when we had him on.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun.
Buy or sell, six quarterbacks go in the top 15 of this year's draft.
Six in the top 15? Sell.
Sold in the back row.
Five? Maybe. Still, I think I'd still sell five. Okay. Five in the first round. I don't know about the top 16. That feels like a lot. All right, there you go. That's a little buy-sell. Good stuff. Some text messages. You should have all dressed as salmon for the Luda concert. I think that would have been weird.
I don't think the Mariners would have appreciated that.
Humpy or pink salmon is best smoked. Is that why it's always losing? Because it's getting smoked out there on the field.
Oh, I took it the other way.
Let's see. I've got Salk. I had a Mitchwitch. Oh, nice. A double Mitchwitch. Thanks for the rec. Cuban side, definitely better. Bacon, though, was really good on the Haniger side. Didn't like the avocado. I love the avocado because it was fried. I thought that part was great. But yes, the double Mitchwitch, I'm told, is still selling like hotcakes. So they're going to take some time, right? Mariners are going to be away here in this little road trip. When they come back, go get yourself a Mitchwitch because that thing was pretty good.
At the Tamari Bar, the Area 206
I heard
Curry.
That's awesome.
It was very good.
I heard that's really legit.
I am not a Curry fan, and I'm not selling this because it's like, oh,
I've heard that. You don't need to be a Curry fan.
Yeah, it's good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's something to think about. Okay. Need to know coming up here in a moment. And then the great liar, G. Scott, will be in at 8:30 to play the victim because that's what he does. That's coming up. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
A nice day off for the Mariners yesterday. Probably needed it coming off the two straight losses and just needing to recollect themselves after the defensive disaster on Wednesday. So they all take off on a flight together. They go to Milwaukee. Scott Servais thinks, yeah, that's probably going to be a good thing for them.
You know, there's no magical steps. You do this and then this happens. There's going to be some bumps in the road. It's going to take a little while for this group to figure it out. But I said it leaving spring training. I still believe it today. We have a very talented team. We haven't played well. I thought yesterday's game was not a good game by any means. And our guys realize that. We need to get better, more consistent offensively. But hopefully the road trip helps. Playing good teams. Obviously, Milwaukee's off to a good start here. Then we go to Toronto, teams that are very capable and teams that will be fighting for the playoffs here when we get to the end of the season. So, but it's an opportunity for our team to really come together. I was just coming in here and I saw about 10 of our guys going out to dinner tonight. Those things are important. Start spending time together away from the park, getting to know each other a little bit more. And hopefully, you know, like I said, our team will come together on this road trip.
Yeah, he mentions also that they have had a lot of turnover, and that is important. Does it mean that that's why they have been striking out at a preposterous rate? No, of course not. But it's still a good thing for the long term for this team. And as you know, sometimes weird stuff happens in baseball where that chemistry just grows and you just start winning games that maybe you have no business winning. So hopefully things are able to turn around. The offensive start was not great. Talked to Aaron Goldsmith about it yesterday, and he was generally very positive and talked about a lot of the reasons why this should turn around. Here's one thing, though, that kind of jumped out to me.
They're getting this thing off the ground, right? And they're figuring out his role on a day-to-day basis of how to attack the opposing starting pitcher. I mean, that is such a major part of what Brant Brown does. And I think this is going to maybe take a little time to get some traction. And I don't think you change anything. I think you keep banging the same message, because right now my sense is, Mike, that there are maybe three, maybe four, maybe some days two guys who are taking that plan of action and implementing it.
Yeah, I actually was surprised to hear that. I mean, baseball's just a weird sport, right? Where you can say, okay, well, here's the new plan. But if guys don't decide to buy in and try to execute the new plan, it's not a new plan. It's just guys doing their own thing however they were doing it in the past. That will be a challenge then for Brant Brown and for Scott Servais to try to get the team actually moving in the same direction. And then if they can do that, hopefully most plans can work if everybody's on board with them. Hopefully you'll end up putting this one in that category. Logan Gilbert, Freddie Peralta on the field tonight. Peralta coming off an excellent first start, allowed just one run, one hit in six innings against the Mets.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
If you're excited about tonight's game, you are right there with me. I can't wait to watch college hoops tonight to see this rivalry expand between two incredible players, Paige Beckers and obviously Caitlin Clark, Gino Auriemma, on those two, and what that will look like when we see it play out this evening.
They know what's going on out there. They know who's who. They know what's what. And Caitlin comes down and makes a huge three. Don't think that Paige is going to pass the next one up and pass it to somebody. So I think there will be a little bit of that, but it won't be if I score more points than Caitlin, Connecticut's going to win. It won't be that at all. And it won't be, I have to match everything that she does. Paige's personality is such that she'd rather score 10 points and us win than get 50 and us lose.
I saw some hot takes buzzing around the internet that Paige Beckers actually had a better year than Caitlin Clark. Okay, sure. I feel like you're just trying to get noticed with that one. Caitlin's completely revolutionized the way people are looking at this game. But that's not to take anything away from Paige Beckers. Tremendous talent in her own right. And they got some other gals on that team who are really good, too. I'm blanking on her name, but the large, taller girl with the red braids, she is really good and will be a force down low, which is something you've seen Iowa struggle with quite a bit. Men get underway tomorrow, NC State, Purdue, 3 o'clock, and then Alabama, UConn scheduled for just before 6.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
All right, John Schneider on the station yesterday with Wyman and Bob, Brady Henderson filling in there, and we're under 3 weeks now before the draft. One of the things he talked about was how things are changing a little bit with the return game, right? They signed Laviska Shenault this week to go with Dee Eskridge. Here's why you may need two kick returners moving forward.
The XFL deal was one returner, and so I think a lot of the, you know, initially when they were talking about it, was a lot of the angst within the special teams coaches community was that if there's just one returner back there, the ball's going to be, you know, dropping. It's going to look sloppy. There's going to be a lot of line drives. It's like, yeah, get the ball on the ground. So it's a jacked up play, which, you know, people thought could lead to more injuries and then, you know, may just look like a sloppier play in general. So having the two returners back there really takes that away. Plus, if you had the one returner, you know, you could really, you know, strategize. Like if you're covering a kick over here on the left side and you drop the ball, you know, into the right, you know, quadrant of the of like the landing zone or whatever, this guy's not going to be able to get there at all. So having the two returners is kind of was a way they worked through things. So
you're going to need to have a couple guys on your team that are capable of returning. Remember, they used to always have two returners back years ago. You'd have two guys back there in whichever direction they kicked. Sometimes you wouldn't know which. Yeah, sometimes they would line up together in the middle and then split as the kick was coming out, so you wouldn't know who was where. But yeah, look, I'm excited. Something new like that to help something that used to be a big part of the game and used to be one of the more exciting parts of the NFL and is essentially turned into, you know, something rote that is not all that interesting or exciting. Good news. So looking forward to that this season. All right, that's everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show. At some point, I would love to try to come back to what we got from Andrew Marchand about the Super League, because he said three or four things in there that I think were very, very important. So talked about this earlier. This is the college proposal, essentially, for changing around college sports and making it collectively bargained and changing some of the NIL and allowing leagues that make sense. It would be a huge lifeline to Wazoo and to Oregon State because it would bring them back into the fold in a couple different ways. But of all the things he said, the one that probably jumps out most as a mover, like a prime mover for why this is happening, is these lawsuits that are still underway. This is not the Ed O'Bannon stuff. These are new lawsuits that are essentially looking for back pay, saying, okay, now you have NIL. Why didn't I get that? Back pay. And as he said, if those were to, you know, be decided on the side of the plaintiffs, first of all, you would have more of them. And second of all, it would be billions of dollars. Well, look at the NFL. Why did the NFL make so many changes to player safety? Why are we talking about this new kickoff rule? Why did concussions become the word of the day? It's not because the owners woke up one day and felt bad. It was a lawsuit.
Protection.
And they were going to be out a tremendous amount of money because they withheld information from the players. Well, guess what's maybe moving the needle here? It's what got NIL going, and it's probably what will get something like this all set when it happens. That, and the other point he made, was that the boosters are eventually going to be sick of paying for it. Think about professional sports owners. They don't lose money every year, right? Their franchises gain in value, and they have found ways to offset the money they're spending. Boosters don't get that. Boosters spend whatever they spend, and that money just goes away. And it's not tax deductible, as Andrew mentioned. So at some point, those guys are going to say, wait, team owners in the NFL and Major League Baseball, they're making money. Why am I just spending money? I'm happy to be a part of this, but I don't want to just spend money. I want to make something back on it. So I think that when you start to get powerful boosters, powerful presidents, and people that recognize that lawsuits could completely change the game together, they are going to have to think of something in order to change this. And I love this proposal as a good first step. G. Scott, we were out with him last night. He has a tendency to maybe bend the truth a little bit.
What do you mean, check if he's awake yet?
No, but he just, I don't know. We'll see where this goes. We're going to explain what happened with G last night next. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710 and SeattleSports.com.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Weekday 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports
app. Yeah, it is Friday. It's 8:30, and it's time to give the people what they not only want, but probably demand, especially today, after Justin, Moore, and I all drove down to Tacoma to go see Luda with G. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Brother Salk. Good morning, my people, the listeners of the Brock and Salk Show.
Are you going to properly introduce G as your stylist?
Yeah, my new stylist, G. Scott.
Wait, before we get to all that, hold on, stop. Did you have caffeine this morning?
I had a little caffeine this morning, yeah.
Why?
Well, because I got home and took a little while to fall asleep. I was energized from the show, so I probably didn't fall asleep till like 12:30. And then, you know, woke up at 4:30 and then thought I'm not taking a nap today. So I thought I could stand a little caffeine.
How was it?
The caffeine?
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't know. I don't think it does that much for me, but it generally just means that I can't sleep. But, you know, sometimes I'll try a little bit.
All right, Luda, last night, first, I want to tell everybody, last night was incredible. We need to do it again.
Oh,
I
nice.
Think outings like that are really important. Now, I want to let everyone know that Mike Salk agreed with us and all of us that he would wear whatever it is that I gave him. And when he shows up, and Mara and Justin, they show up to the house, I had the two shirts ready for him, and he was ready. He was game, and we had you all on X. You had you all decide, and you all picked the Skulls. So what did you think about your fit?
I got to say, I kind of liked it. Like, I brought it home. Heather kind of liked it and said, hey, this would be good. If you're keeping that, now you'll have something to wear to things that you normally wouldn't have had something like that.
Yeah, you're keeping that. That's yours.
Oh, nice. I like it. Nice. Oh, once it's touched my body, Gina, I don't want any part of it anymore.
Zero to hero. I love it.
Yeah, I liked it. I went looking to figure out who made it, and the inside label, there is no label. It's just a bunch of rhinestones in what's almost like a QR code pattern. So I don't know, man. I was going to put my phone on it and see if it took me to a website.
So the concert, you scale of 1 to 10, what would you all
We're not ready to get to the concert yet. Hold on. Maura and I have a question first.
Oh.
So we go to your house, and people should know. We mentioned this right off the bat at 6 a.m., but for some reason you weren't awake then. Here, we'll recap it. We get down to G's house, beautiful home. He and his wife have done a fantastic job of remodeling their house. It looks great, black and white with gray flooring. It's super sleek. It is truly, it's a beautiful home for the two of them. Love it. Absolutely gorgeous, G.
Appreciate you.
And so we have dinner, which was fun, and then G was nice enough to let me use the stove. I appreciate that. And then we say, all right, let's go over to the show, and why don't we take two cars, because I didn't want to drive back to your house, which you said was moments away from the casino, but it was actually like, you know, 15 minutes. So we weren't going to drive back and forth. Fine. So G goes to get into his car. We're starting to walk out to my car, and he's like, hey, Justin, you want to ride with me? And Jamar and I are like, yeah, so it's not enough that they're going to go spend the weekend together when he invited Justin to his birthday party, but not us, right in front of us, like some sort of a teenage mean girl. Now he's got to embarrass us even more by asking Justin to go ride in his car with him. What's up with that?
On the way down, where was Justin sitting? In the front seat or the back seat?
Yep. Yeah, I was being chauffeured in the back seat. Good point. Yep.
Okay, so I offered
Justin
the guy.
Always, I always offer the front seat. Back. Justin doesn't take it.
Yeah, Justin just sees Moore's legs being like, you know, 6.5 feet long and says, you better sit up front.
So here is me being the nice guy because Justin took the picture of you guys on the way. And by the way, shout out to everybody on X that kept getting your picture of you looking in a rearview mirror. How about that? But anyway, so I was like, hey, I don't want this guy being in the back seat. Hey, Justin, you want to come and ride with me?
Very nice.
Oh, because that's what friends do.
So do you think if Maura had gone with you, that Justin still would have had to ride in the back seat? We only would have had two people, not three.
I'm trying to answer this in a way.
I got it. You didn't want your wife to come home right then. Is that it?
Wait, all I know is you know, there's ring cameras and everything. And then, like, context is just, hey, Maura, come on and ride with me. Now, I know Maura, you know Maura, but my wife's never met Maura before.
Right. That's
and
fair.
Like, all of a sudden, my wife's looking in the ring camera, and she sees you guys go to the car, and, hey, Maura, come on in. And
that's fair.
You see the mic
all
car.
Right, that's fair. You know what?
That's some good awareness.
I'll buy that one. You know, given all the marriages, I think that's probably safe for you. Good job.
Two observations that I got from G's house. Number one, you pull up. The very first thing you get out of the car, you hear, bing, you're being recorded. And I was like, oh, whoa, okay. I was like, is that coming from G's house? Is that from a car? Like, what's going on? You get into the house. Everything is electronic or a gadget in some way. Like, he's like, I'm going to open a bottle of wine. Pulls out an electric wine cork opener thing.
Which he then screwed up.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah. And then he corked the wine with it.
And he's like, what do you want? He points. He's got an ice machine. He's like the Taco Time ice or the crushed ice. And then
he's got that crushed ice.
He's got a
very fancy toilet.
Yeah, he's got the two drawer air fryer right next to the thing. You go into the bathroom. The toilet seat is heated, so it's clearly electronic, and it has a motor, so the seat goes.
It
up
automatically
and down on
opens
its own.
Up, and a light comes on. I thought it was going to start talking.
There was also some scent which came out of the air conditioner heating system that it smells like the MGM Grand. Like,
the mirror has lights and is had a cord going into the mirror for some reason.
Yeah, it's a very modern tech
home. Something I have never seen, G. And I want to know if this is something that is you or maybe I don't have enough. My friend group is too isolated. I've never seen anybody with a paper towel roll in the bathroom instead of like a hand towel.
Yeah. Well, I believe. Okay. Okay, we're getting on to something. When I go in some of y'all's bathrooms and y'all just have that same nasty towel that's there the entire time.
I figured that's what it was.
Come on, I mean, right? Like, isn't that nasty? You go to wash your hands, and then there's this towel that you're like, ugh, slime, slime, slime.
What?
But don't you want your own paper towel? Like, oh, that's refreshing.
No.
So that's what you get in my bathroom. You,
dude,
get
you
the
and,
nasty
you and
towel.
Stelton, you and Stelton have so much similarity. I never would have guessed, but similar kind of vibes there coming off you guys. All right, how was the show?
I give the show a 10. Here's why it's a 10. The show starts at 8. Luda got out there, 8:15-ish?
Yep.
Right? We were out of there by, 9:30?
At the latest.
Like, how many times have you been to a concert that starts at 8 and the main attraction doesn't come out there until, 10:30?
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about? The Emerald Queen knows how to do it. Hey, it's a school night. Some of us got to go to work in the morning. So, yeah, I loved it. 10 out of 10.
That was definitely a key part of it. Now, there was some cool stuff. The show was great. Luda was awesome. We're going to go through and play some of our favorite Luda moments at 9:45 for Ranked. But he got off the stage for a couple of minutes and let his DJ take over, which was fun. And he played a little Nirvana. Nobody ever went broke playing Nirvana in Seattle, in the Seattle area. So that was great.
Right.
And one of the things he played is Maura's theme song, basically, Rough Rider Anthem, because you've heard Maura sing this before, right? Her impassioned version of Rough Rider Anthem. So I took a little video of the three of you guys. But when I was taking the video, I thought it was just going to be about Maura enjoying her song. But I'd like to play you guys just a little bit of it, because you may hear something else that jumps out to you more than Maura.
Okay.
Oh!
Hold on. I like the Brock and Salk bit at the end. Thank you for throwing that in. What were you singing in the middle? Because it certainly was not Rough Rider's Anthem.
let's see. Now, hold on. I have an excuse, but I'm trying to figure out how to wait because I know it's a family show. You know what? That was that Sprite. I had that. You remember that Sprite that
Sprite
I had
you
on
had.
The way in?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That got you.
Sprite.
I don't care how much Sprite I've had to drink, I would still know the chorus to Rough Rider Anthem. I don't know what to tell you.
Wait, I knew the chorus. Nah. I was just slow on it.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought maybe you didn't know the words. I was surprised.
Come on, man. Look, DMX, come on.
Do we embarrass you at all? You knew a lot of people there. Everywhere G went, he was like, hey, what's up, man? Hey, what's going on? G knows everybody wherever he goes.
Nah, man. Y'all was my people, man. It was fun hanging out with you guys. It was lovely. It was real cool. Man, did you tell everybody how you did?
That I won a couple bucks beforehand? Yeah, no, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I don't mind saying that. Somebody paid me to go down there and have fun. I'll take it.
Oh, hey, I tell you what, how about me being your good luck charm, sitting next to you?
That was pretty good. Maura first, and then you guys were great.
Yeah.
Helped me out a little bit. Yeah. I appreciate it. So are you going to come to a rock show with me now?
I mean, that's the deal. So now I got to come to a rock concert,
okay.
Right?
Yep.
Can you break me in? Can you slowly put me into this, like training wheels?
Gee, can we dress you for the rock concert?
Absolutely. Will you wear whatever we put you in for the rock concert?
No. Absolutely not. I will not do that.
All right.
At least I'm being honest.
Okay.
What else is going on, man?
Well, hey, have you followed any of this Super League thing? Do you know what this is?
I've been briefly, barely hearing about it, the possibility of universities all being a part of one league. I do believe that that's where it's going,
mm-hmm.
especially when you see all the NIL. And let's just be real. There's just going to be some teams that can compete and a whole lot of teams that can't. So I do believe that the Super League in some way, shape, or form is going to be coming.
So I encourage you, if you have a few minutes today, I know you're driving up for your birthday and all that, and you and Justin are going to have your little play date together. But if you have some time, read the Athletic article on this earlier this week by Andrew Marchand and Stuart Mandel. And we talked to Andrew earlier in the show and kind of got a little bit more background on it. What they're talking about is fascinating. You're talking about 70 teams in seven conferences that are basically the old Power Five. So first of all, that would include Wazoo and Oregon State, and then they would add, I think it's Notre Dame and SMU, which would make 70, and then 10 more schools that would be in a college, in a soccer style promotion relegation conference. Right. So the first 70 are permanent. The other 10 would be fluctuating depending on how well they do. And then all of that rolls into a normal style playoff with wild cards and division winners. You collectively bargain it. So the players are in some form of a union. They get paid directly by the schools or by the system rather than by NIL money. And you could start to institute some actual rules for scheduling, for transfers, maybe for coaches moving from one direction to another. There's a tremendous amount that you would have to overcome with TV deals and everything else. But gosh, if you were starting, as he said to us, if you were starting from scratch, isn't that how you would make it work?
Yeah, that sounds good. But there's not enough money for all of that. There's no way that these TV deals can be as lucrative when you include 70-something teams. You're talking about coaches having to get paid, players having to get paid. That is not a sustainable model. While I do believe that type of model is going to happen in the future, I just don't think it's going to involve 70 teams. Mm. We're heading to a new world. We're in a world today where Bronny James enters into the transfer portal and, oh, by the way, declares for the NBA draft at the same time. That's the type of days that we are in right now. Yeah. So I don't see 70 teams, but I do foresee some type of Super League in the future. Now, I know before you guys let me off the phone, I need to have a Mariner conversation with you in front of everybody. Is that okay?
Of course. Let's go.
Okay. So I'll admit, I haven't followed the Mariners like most of you and a lot of your listeners have. As you all know, I'm all in this season. I plan to go to 20 plus games. It has been fun. Well, let me say this again. It has been fun getting to really know and see everything surrounding Mariner baseball. I need help. I need help because I don't know how long I can go with this. Like every single day almost of baseball. I don't know, like watching them. Don't get me wrong. I know it's early. I know it's April. I get that. But the frustration that I have with you and some of you all baseball fans out here is you don't allow me space to be upset if they lose 8-0 or if they lose. So how can I be better about watching this game?
Well, hold on. You should be upset. I got no, please be upset. If that's the way you want to watch the games and they make you angry or they make you super excited, feel free to be upset. I don't want to tell you what to do. What all I'm asking you is, as your friend and somebody who's on many, many text threads with you, when you're upset, I don't necessarily want to hear about it. I don't want to be your venting pole for you to be upset because I'm not that upset. And now I find that I end up getting into an argument with you where I'm like, well, what about this, this, and this? And I don't want to be in that position. If you want to be upset, be upset. I just don't want to also be upset. So keep it to yourself.
That's not what friends are for. Well, that's not really inviting.
Why do I have to be a good friend, but you don't? You're not being a good friend to me by ruining a day that I am perfectly fine with.
So how did I ruin your day by telling you I'm upset about what I'm seeing, the pressure of it? That's
because you
ask
questions. No, because you don't just say I'm upset. You say, Salk, what about this, this, and this? And then when I answer why I'm not upset about it, you say that I'm being elitist. Like, you ask me the damn question. What do you want me to say? You want me to not answer? Then you get mad at me and say I don't answer.
Okay, here's a question. I'll ask you. Here's an example. Do these games in April matter?
Yes, of course.
So if they lose those games, I can't be upset?
Yes. I've already told you you can be upset. Stop twisting my words. Be as upset as you want. Just don't don't bring me into it. Bring someone else into it. Text Brock. He's generally freaking out about every loss, too.
Gee, most of us get upset about these games. You can say it's a 162-game season, but you still get frustrated. Salk's just got an ability to, I don't know, to not.
It's not that I don't get frustrated. Of course I do. You watch the game, and in the moment, I do get upset. It's not about getting upset or not. It's about drawing conclusions based on an incredibly small sample size. When J.P. Crawford doesn't come up with a big hit in a big moment, am I pissed? Yes. Of course, I'm a baseball fan. I'm a Mariner fan. Of course I'm mad. But does it make me think that J.P. Crawford's a bad player, or that they won't win another game this year, or that he needs to be sent to AAA, or that you need to cut him tomorrow, or that Scott needs to juggle his lineup, or that J.P.'s lost it? No. I just, like, there's a separation between frustration in the moment and freaking out about the big picture. And that's all I'm trying to say.
Here's a question. Since I'm asking, since we're, you know, I know we're doing this in front of everybody.
We're in the trust tree.
If I say I don't think JP should lead off, is that being too irrational?
Depends. Are you saying it based on what you've seen in his career and who you think should lead off, or are you saying it because he had a bad day?
I'm saying it because of what I see right now to start the season. I know I am not taking his career. I'm taking the season. So is this where most people would say to me, hey, G, it's just April?
It's not that they'd say it's just April. They'd say it's been seven games. It's not about the time of the year. It's that baseball is played over a long period of time for a reason. And, you know, you have to let guys play their position. If Ken Walker has a bad series, do you say he shouldn't be the running back anymore? Or do you say, all right, that wasn't a great series, let's get him back out there and let him do his thing? Well, he shouldn't be the running back anymore. He should be the wide receiver. Like, no, you just, like, you have a little bit of time to allow guys to do their thing. If over the course of a month, JP has an awful month, yeah, then you start having some conversations about moving him around. But I how much would you like it if your manager overreacted to everything that happened on a single show that you did? Hey, G, unfortunately, I didn't like scenarios today. You should get rid of that segment or move it to a different time. Okay, well, it wasn't the best day for scenarios, but like we've been doing it for a while. You got to have a level of consistency. And I think in baseball, maybe that's even more important than other sports.
Okay, well, last thing. I've noticed that, okay, there's a lot of games, obviously 162 ball games, and I'm used to, on the football side of things, right? Like, oh my goodness, that's game yesterday. I had my blood pressure up and all these things.
Yeah.
And then what ends up happening is you get like 5 or 6 days of like, okay, here we go again. Well, this baseball, it's like, oh my goodness. So if it's a one-run game, either goes either way, or if it's 8-0, whatever the case might be, then you got to do this again the next day.
Yeah.
So how do you guys do that game after game after game?
It's sort of just a different mentality, man. I don't know what to tell you. It's one of the challenges of baseball. It's why it is a game mentally that is built on dealing with failure, not just on success.
All right. Fair.
I mean, you kind of just have to put yourself in a little bit of a different mindset. I guess that's all I would say. But yeah, do I get mad? Of course I do. Do I get upset in the moment? Yes. I mean, I'm human. Plus, I've got a bad temper. Of course I get mad. But it's just a matter of sort of compartmentalizing it, I guess.
Seems like Brock gets a little bit more mad, too.
Oh, very mad. Yeah, he's very, very passionate. Very emotional. Very difficult for him at times. Oh, man. All right. So, G, that was a blast last night. We really did have a phenomenal time. Really enjoyed it. I know tonight you're on your way up to Vancouver. I know you're going to be watching the basketball game tonight. What's your level of excitement for this evening?
Scale of 1 to 10 is at a 20. I mean, women's basketball is the talk of the town right now. And I don't think that there's ever been a moment like this. I said it before, I'll continue to say it again. In 1979, when you had Magic Johnson against Larry Bird, and you had that game, and then those guys going to the NBA. Mm. And in that 1980 season, remember, the NBA games before that were on tape delay. They were on, you know, they'd already been played. There were reruns, basically. They weren't live TV until Magic and Larry got to the NBA. Obviously, the WNBA isn't in that situation, but we're in a situation where just recently the Las Vegas Aces, the women's team, they've sold out season tickets for the season, right? We are going to now see women's basketball really take off, both at the college level and at the WNBA level. That doesn't mean that we haven't had greats before. No, Lord knows, we've had many, many greats. Just like in the NBA, there were greats before Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. However, sometimes there's just that watershed moment, and I'm taking your words from what you said the other day. The watershed moment happened in that game. You're talking about 12.3 million people watched an elite
8 women's basketball game. There's no going back. We're here. And it's not like women's basketball wasn't always good. It's now, oh, you don't have to get on ESPN 45 to watch it. It's actually there for us to watch it. It's a beautiful game, and I can't wait for it later on the day.
Yeah, I well said. I spent a lot of time talking about it earlier in the show and just mentioned, and we got to run here, but it's going to be appointment viewing in my home, and I know there's a lot of other girl dads who feel that way, and I would just say, not that this needs to be said because it seems like everybody's tuning in already, but if you have boys, young boys in your house, sons, make them or have them watch it also because and build it up for them because it really starts to matter when everybody appreciates this and it becomes a sport that everybody likes, not just a sport for women to watch. And I think that's what's made this so special and so fun.
No doubt about it. Well, it's been fun, and I can't wait to do this again.
Yeah.
Loved going to the concert with you guys. It was great.
It was a blast. Have a good birthday, man, and have a great trip with Justin, your new bestie. And I'm sure we'll hear about your play date when you guys get back. So thank you so much.
Real quick, Mara's my bestie, too.
Oh, wow. Aww. I'm noticing a pattern here. What's up with that? So those are your two besties, huh?
Yeah, mean girl confirmed, though.
All right, well, I can't wait to dress you for that rock show. That's going to be fun. All right, G, thank you. Have a good time. We'll talk to you later. There you go, G Scott. Thank him again for hosting us last night. That was a blast. And just, dude, he's unique, man. Love that guy. Just absolutely adore him. And I like fighting with him. Okay, Stacey's coming in next. I have one question I have to ask her because we are less than 3 weeks away from the NFL draft. Does she have a favorite? Has she started to figure out that player she's zeroing in on that she wants more than anybody else at number 16? We'll ask her about that and a whole bunch more next on Brock and Salk.